We are in the book of Revelation in a series that I've entitled End Time Previews. And I made this promise to you, if you'll try to come every week, if you miss a week, go online, catch up. I believe at the end of our study that you will be able to explain the book of Revelation in totality. Now, I know right now that seems like a lot to you, but it won't be by the time we're done. So we're studying end time previews, and the first part of this end time previews, I believe is the next thing on God's prophetic calendar, is the rapture of the church. Now, every week I told you I'm going to give a brief background, an overview of what we've gone through. So let me do that, and then we'll get started this evening. The first thing that's going to happen, the next thing that's going to happen, it could happen at any time, is the rapture of the church. We began by talking about what does the word rapture mean? Actually, it's a Latin word, rapio, and it means to be snatched up. It needs to be grabbed, is what the word means. The next thing on God's prophetic calendar is, according to Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2, and according to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, which is a description of the Revelation 4 passage, that is the rapture of the church. What's going to happen during the rapture? Believers, those who are Christians, are going to be caught up. They're going to be snatched up. They're going to be carried away to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord's going to come to the clouds, and we're going to be caught up to meet Him. Don't confuse that with the second coming of the Lord. That's all the way over in Revelation chapter 19, when the Lord actually comes back to earth, and we will come with Him. So we're talking about this rapture. We're talking about what the word means. And we see this in that Revelation 4, 1 and 2 and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. First of all, in that Thessalonians passage, we talked about the descent. Where is the Father now? The Son, He's at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. When the rapture takes place, Jesus will leave the right hand of the Father, and He will come to meet us in the clouds. We talked about this descent. Then we talked about the description. There will be a shout, there will be a voice of the archangel, and there will be a trumpet sound when all of this takes place. Then we talked about the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. At the rapture, what will happen? All the graves and all the world will open up if they were believers, if they were Christians, and they will go first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up with the Lord right after their ascension. And then we talked about the departure, that we will meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. So we're talking about the rapture. We talked about what the word rapture means. But second of all, we talked about when will the rapture take place? Because you're going to hear words like this or phrases like this: pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. Pre-tribulation means that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Mid-tribulation means that the church will be raptured after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, it'll be raptured. Post-tribulation means that the church will be raptured after the entire 7 years of the tribulation. I believe in a pre-tribulation. Now, last week I gave you 3 or 4 reasons why I believe that Revelation 4, 1 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 are talking about the rapture of the church. Now, remember, in Revelation 4, the rapture takes place and the tribulation doesn't start till chapter 6. And it goes all the way through chapter 18, which we're going to start studying tonight. So the church is raptured before the tribulation. And I gave you some reasons why I believe that. First of all, the church is missing. In Revelation chapters 1 through 3, you see the word church spoken of 19 times. Starting in Revelation 4, all the way through the end of the book, the church is not even mentioned. Now, why is the church not mentioned? Because it's not here. Because the rapture has taken the church, us as believers, out. So I believe that a pre-tribulation, that before the tribulation, the church, we as believers, will be raptured out. Why? Because the church is missing. But second of all, because of the phraseology. If you study Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2, and compare that to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, which both talk about this rapture event, you see similar phrases like caught up, Revelation 4, come up hither. You have phrases like the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. You have this shout. Why are they similar? Because they're speaking of the same thing. The third thing that we talked about is the removal of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 1 through 3, the Holy Spirit is mentioned many times. And then what happens in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible makes an important statement in verse 2. Okay? John says he was in the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. And the setting was set in heaven. So I believe what? That the Holy Spirit, when the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit goes with the church. Then we went to a very important passage over in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7 that says when the restrainer is taken away. Let me ask you a question. What restrains all the evil, all the hell that would come against the church right now, the church in general? It's the Holy Spirit. But there'll come a time, and I believe it'll be at this rapture, when we as believers will go meet the Lord in the air, okay, and the Holy Spirit is taken out. The Bible says in that 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 passage that the restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit, will be removed. So I'm giving you reasons why I believe that the church will be raptured out before the tribulation period starts. And then also because of what Jesus said. Jesus says, I will not allow the church to go through the hour of trial. I will not allow the church to go through the hour of wrath. So those are four reasons why I believe that the church will be raptured out before the tribulation. Okay? Because the church is missing after Revelation chapter 4. Because of the phraseology of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, how it corresponds with Revelation 4, 1 and 2 precisely, and how the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, will be taken out before the tribulation period with us in the rapture, and because Jesus said over and over again that he will not allow us as a church, his children, to go through the hour of wrath. Now, that catches us up. I hope that helps you. That catches us up to where we want to begin tonight. It's the third thing that I want to talk about when it comes to the rapture. We've talked about, first of all, what does the word rapture mean? Second of all, when will the rapture take place? Now, thirdly and quickly, and then I want to get on to our next study tonight, is simply this. What are the results of the rapture? Now, I want you to stop and think about something. When that amount of people leave the earth at one time, what do you think everybody else that's left on the earth is going to think? What will be the results when Christians, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, meet the Lord in the air, and we go to heaven with Him, and you have thousands, probably millions of people that all of a sudden are gone. A husband looks for his wife, she's gone. A mom and dad look for their children, and they're gone. You go to work, and half the workforce is not there. You go to churches, and the churches are empty. So, what are the results of the rapture? Let me give them to you. First of all, I want you to see it's a spectacular event. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we'll begin tonight, 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, bring your Bibles. We're going to use them extensively, or your phones, whatever you, iPads, whatever you use. Spectacular event, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Look at this spectacular event. Behold, I tell you a mystery, a hidden truth, okay, that's not been revealed yet, but it will be revealed at the rapture. It's not something that God doesn't want you to know. It just hasn't had the right time, God's timing, for it to be revealed or happen. But I tell you a mystery. We should not all sleep. Well, we should all be changed. Now notice verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the word twinkling there means a blink. In the blink of an eye, this is going to happen. At the last trumpet, what is that saying? That's the rapture. Remember, a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God will sound. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. Who's going first in the rapture? Okay, the dead in Christ. Who's going after the dead in Christ are caught up and raptured from the grave? We who are alive will remain if we are in that generation. There is a generation that won't see death. Wouldn't you like to be that generation? I would. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, the mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So what's going to happen? What's the results of the rapture? First of all, it's a spectacular event. Think about that. In a moment, in a blinking of an eye, we'll all be changed. We'll be with the Lord. But second of all, it's a sudden event. Now, look over at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look what Jesus said. Now, some of these verses will start coming into play because this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the rapture. Sudden event, Matthew 24, verse 36. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37. Now look what's going to be happening. Prior to this rapture event, notice what's going to be happening. But as the days of Noah were so, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Does that not describe to us what's happening in our culture today? Everything's going on as usual, okay? Everybody's doing what they do. What did Jesus say? They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying and giving in marriage. Just like they were before the flood in Noah's day. Everything was going according to what people and what they wanted to do and the lives they were living until the flood came, until the waters start to rise, until they realize, hey, we're not going to make it through this. Jesus is telling us that's the climate that's going to happen right before the rapture. I believe we're living in a time. Remember where Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be various earthquakes and pestilence throughout the world. Is that not happening today? This is the precursor, okay, of this rapture that's going to take place. So it'll be a sudden event. Things will be going on in life as usual. You know, one thing about this old world, no matter what happens, people tend to go back to the same old thing. I remember when 9/11 happened. Our churches were full. Do you remember that? Every Sunday they were full. But what happened about 6 weeks later? It's back to normal. It's back to business, okay? You know, the COVID thing that we've all gone through. There was a time we couldn't come to church. But as we started coming back to church, people lost what? In a moment's time, they lost their health and they lost their money. The two things that mankind prizes more than anything else is their health and money. And COVID took it away. You would have thought COVID, when it was finally we were able to gather again, that our churches would be full, wouldn't you? If there's a virus that can start on the other side of the world and come and affect everybody in the world, you would have thought people would have said, hold it now. It took away health and money. Our economies dropped. You didn't know if you're going to get it, what your health was going to be. People would flock to the churches. But now what's happening? Hopefully, we're post-COVID. Can I have an amen? Amen. So what's happening to our churches again? My point is, it's sudden, and nobody's going to expect it. Life's going to go on as usual. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. Look again at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this is going to happen so quick. I've had people tell me, Brother Ron, you know, if something like that happens, I'm going to fall down, I'm going to get right with God. No, you're not. You're not going to have time. Everybody in here, blink your eyes. That's how quick it'll be. You're not going to have time to fall on your face. You're not going to have time to get right with God. You're not going to have time to call mom and dad and see what's going on, or grandma and grandpa. You won't be. So it's a spectacular event. It's a sudden event. But thirdly, it's a separating event. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, real quickly. And I want to get on to some more material tonight. Luke 17, look at verse 34. Jesus is talking about this rapture again. Look what he says in Luke 17, 34. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. It'll be a separating event. Again, maybe a husband looks for his wife and the wife is not there. Or the husband and the wife look for the children. The children are not there. The husband and wife will look for mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. They are not there. All right, that is the rapture of the church. Now, I want to go on to the next event. And the next event is what we call the tribulation period. Okay? The tribulation period. So the church has been raptured. Christians are gone. That immediately is going to usher in the tribulation period. Now, let's go back to the divine outline, Revelation 1, verse 19. Do you remember what the Lord told John, the revelator? Write the things which you have seen. What would that be? Chapter 1, because he saw a vision of the glorified Christ. And then the second part of that verse 19 of Revelation 1, and the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3, seven literal churches in Asia Minor that I believe represent seven church ages. And then he says this, and the things which will take place after this, that is what? Chapters 4 through 22, which is included in there, starting in chapter 6, all the way through chapter 18, is this tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period, how many of you have heard that term before? Let me see your hand. That's most everybody. The tribulation is divided into two parts. The first part, the first 3.5 years, is simply called the tribulation period. The second 3.5 years is called the great tribulation. Now, a lot of things are going to be happening in the tribulation period, and this is what I want to begin to look at tonight. So, I want to break down the tribulation period to three different parts. First of all, the catastrophes in the tribulation period. The catastrophes in the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period, to get a grip on it, basically much of that 6 through 18 chapters, much of that 7 years is taken up with judgments. Do you remember what the judgments are? They're the trumpet judgments. They're the bowl judgments. And what we're going to study tonight, the seal judgments. It takes up a lot of narrative in chapters 6 through 18. Now, prior to this, in chapter 5, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Let me briefly touch on this. Chapter 4 is the rapture. Chapter 5, we see a scene in heaven. Let's basically go over it. You see Jesus taking a scroll or a book from the Father. This scroll or this book has 7 seals. Now, commentators are all over the place about this scroll. Now, I'm going to tell you the way I picture it. Could be right, could be wrong, I don't know. A scroll, you know what a scroll is. You open a scroll like this, right? But it had 7 seals on it. So you would open the scroll and you'd undo the first seal and you could read so far. But then you had to go to the 2nd seal to continue to read. Now, this scroll is different because it's written on the inside and the outside. Now, that's very unusual in biblical times. Most scrolls, the writing was just on the inside. This is on the inside and the outside, depicting how much information that God wants us to have about these seals. So, look at Revelation 5 and verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Now, quickly, this scroll, this book, represents the title deed to the earth, because scrolls back then were legal documents. If you had a piece of property somewhere in there, what we would know as a courthouse, they would have scrolls. You know, archaeology has unearthed many of those scrolls, okay? And they'd all be in one place. It was like a courthouse. So if you owned a piece of property, it was on a scroll somewhere in what we would know as a courthouse. So it's a legal document, this scroll, this book, to the title deed of the earth. It simply says a person owns something, or has the right over something, or has the authority to rule and reign over something. Now look at verse 5, Revelation 5. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. Now, prior to that, what's happening is they can't find anybody, watch, who's worthy to open this scroll and to break these seals. Now, what does that mean, Brother Ron? The title deed of the earth, whoever got the title deed of the earth, which we know is Jesus, the worthy Lamb, had to be able to do 3 things. Take away sin, judge sin, and also defeat Satan and ungodly mankind. Who could do that other than Jesus? So no one could take this scroll, this book, and unscroll it, open it, and read it, and open these seals. This legal document, which is the title deed of the earth, the only one that could do it was Jesus. Why? He took away sin. That's what covered the whole earth. He judged sin, and he defeated both Satan and ungodly mankind. So that's basically, in a nutshell, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, is what's happening in Revelation chapter 5. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 6, and we got 12 minutes to do it, okay? Now I want you to see these sets of calamities or judgments that will take place in the tribulation period. This is what's going to happen when the tribulation period starts. First of all, we have the seven seal judgments. That starts in Revelation chapter 6, goes from verse 1 to verse 17, and concludes in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. So we'll get to this. We say, what about chapter 7? We'll get to that in a minute, okay? Now, the first seal, look at Revelation 6 and in verse 2. Verse 1 says that the Lamb began to open the seals. Verse 2, Revelation 6 and verse 2. And I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, look at the phraseology. Look at the terminology here. This rider was on a white horse, and he had a crown. Now, if you just look at that and read that, you might think that's Jesus. He's on a white horse, and he has a crown. But I want to suggest to you it's not Jesus, because Revelation chapter 19 describes Jesus this way. He comes on a white horse, and he has what? A sword. So this is not Jesus. I want to suggest to you that this rather is the Antichrist. Now, this rider of the white horse has a bow, but you notice something interesting. He has no arrows. He has a bow and he has a crown, but he has no arrows. What does that depict? That simply means no arrows, that there's peace and there's not war. This is not Jesus. Rather, it's the Antichrist. And this speaks of his deception on the earth and the gain of the whole world's trust. What is the Antichrist, who's fueled by Satan, the devil? What's his number one tool that he uses against mankind? It's deception. It's deceiving. That's what he does. So think about what's going to happen. Now let's put this together and just think logically what's going to happen. He's going to come on the scene, the Antichrist, I believe very quickly after the rapture. Because why? Somebody's going to have to explain to the world where all these people went. Millions of people gone overnight. The Antichrist, through deception, will be able to deceive the world as to where all these people went. So he's going to have to explain the rapture. But then, during this time, remember there's going to be peace and not war, a bow with no arrows. He's going to be able to solve the world's problems. Think about all the problems we have in this country today, or in the world today. The political problems, the economic problems, the racial problems. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to explain what happened to all these people. He'll make it convincing. And then he's going to set out to solve the world's problems, whatever they are. He's going to have the answer. And then he's going to do something else, which is going to take precedent later on in the book of Revelation. He's even going to go to the Jews, watch this, and rebuild the temple. Now, do you know how many temples are in Jewish history? How many? Don't everybody answer at one time. Basically, there's two and will be three. The first temple that you see in the Bible was what? Solomon's temple. Remember that? This grand, glorious temple. But the second temple is Zerubbabel's temple. Say that fast five times. Zerubbabel's temple. Okay? When was that built? That was built after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Remember that? Do you remember what the Bible says? When that temple was built, it was smaller than Solomon's temple. It wasn't ornate as Solomon's temple. And the old men cried, and the young men gave a shout. Now, why were the old men crying? Because they remember what? Solomon's temple and all his glory. And they said, this is not even close. But the young men who were not alive to see that temple, they shouted. So you have Solomon's temple, the first temple. You have Zerubbabel's temple. Now, Zerubbabel's temple was destroyed. Now, who in the Bible went back to help rebuild that temple? Zerubbabel. Who else? Ezra and Nehemiah. Do you remember that? They were the three sent out. Zerubbabel started it. Then they sent Ezra, the scribe, to teach the word of the law. And then Nehemiah came to do what? To rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So we got Solomon's temple. We got Zerubbabel's temple, helped out by Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. But then there's going to be a third temple. I believe it's going to be erected in the tribulation period. Could start before then. I've been reading a little bit that Israel right now, listen to me, has plans to build a third temple. It's on the drawing board. Now, think about it. The Antichrist is on the scene. Okay? Right after the rapture of the church, he explains to everybody what happened to all these people. In fact, he says they were Christians, good riddance. That'd be done with them all. Be done with religion, okay? Then he's going to start to solve the world's problem. Listen to me. He'll be able to because the enemy will empower him to be able to. And then he's going to build or allow the Jews to build this third temple. Now, I don't want to say much about this, so don't come up to me afterwards and ask me where I'm going with this. We'll get to it, okay? What's going to happen when that temple's built, and it'll be built, I believe, in the first 3.5 years? The tribulation period. At the middle of the tribulation period, starting the great tribulation period, the second 3.5 years, there's going to be something called the abomination of desolation. Has anybody ever heard of that? Or Jacob's trouble. Now, what's going to happen? Why is the Antichrist going to allow the Jews to build that third temple? Because in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to rise up, and we'll get to this later on in the book. He's going to demand what? Worship me. And that's when the Jews are going to know they've been dubbed. Something is not right. My point is simply this. Now, hear this. How much time we got? Hear this. This first seal lasts 3.5 years. This one seal. It's a time of peace and prosperity. It's a time when the Antichrist has got all the answers. It's a time that he'll solve all the world's problems. It's a time that he'll allow the Jews to build this third temple. This first seal lasts 3.5 years. Okay? So that is the first seal. Now, let me just introduce in 3 minutes the second seal. Okay, does everybody understand the first seal? Okay, you got a white horse, you got a crown, it's not Jesus, it's the Antichrist. He has a bow, but he has no arrows, which means there's what? There's peace and not war. It's the Antichrist who will deceive the whole world. The second seal. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Look at verse 3. When he, Jesus, had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Now verse 4. And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. You see that? Take peace, because there was peace for that 3.5 years. In fact, there was probably prosperity. Everything was going great. But now, when the second seal is open, the 3.5 years are done. So now, on the second seal, what happens? Peace is taken from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given him a great sword. Now, this starts, get this in your mind, the great tribulation. Can you remember that? The first seal, okay, is the tribulation, 3.5 years. The second seal, when it's open, starts the next 3.5 years, what is the great tribulation. Again, it's known as Jacob's trouble. This is where the abomination of desolation will take place. Do you remember what Jesus said about that in Matthew 24? He said, when the abomination of desolation takes place, when Satan sets himself up in the temple to be worshipped, he said this, if you're in Judea, flee to the mountains. Remember that? If you're on the housetop, don't go down and take anything out of the housetop. He said, if you're in the field, don't go back and get any clothes. And he said, woe if you're pregnant during that time, because he said there's going to be unleashed on the earth such hell that nobody would be able to survive it if it weren't for God and his elect. So this is what we're talking about. Okay? All right, I'm going to stop there. All right, come back now. Listen, we're getting into these seals. And you, this is amazing what happens. Okay, is everybody getting this? Okay. I wish you'd put it on your face so I could tell that you're really... Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, Brother Ron. Okay? It's simple. Now, next Wednesday night, I'll review again. I won't review the rapture. Okay? But I'll review what we just did tonight. So every week we have something to build on. If you skip a week, can't make it a week, go online and you can plug right back in and we'll make it, okay? So come next week. It's going to get very exciting. What's going to happen? I'm amazed how the Bible comes alive and you see it happening all around you.